prepared some devotions to say to you guys tonight. We're going to sing a little bit, get that garlic breath into the atmosphere, and spread it around, see how much you guys really love each other, or don't, and we'll move on from there. Let's turn to number, what number is that? Joy to the World, what number is that? Did you? 87. All right, I'll open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get rolling. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for bringing us all here. Thanks for the food you just prepared for us. I pray that we just have a great time tonight of fellowship and just hanging out. And now we're just going to start off our night, Lord, just by hearing from you. And you put some things on some kids' hearts, and they want to share those things with their friends. And I pray and ask that, you know, we could put the distractions of our lives aside for a moment, Lord, just to be able to get something from you and see what you're doing in our friends' lives. And right now, just take this time that we get to sing these songs and let it be a transition time for us to kind of get our mind and our thoughts towards the things that you care about so that we can make those things our things. We love you and thank you. In your son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, number 87, Joy to the World. Here we go.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found.
He rules.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
All right, 89, angels we have heard on high. Here we go, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Here we go.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore unbid
Christ the Lord,
Christ the Lord,
the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria. Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth, Mary, Joseph, lend your aid. With us sing our Savior's birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Let's do one more, 93, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. All right, here we go.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hailed incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Quick question before we do verse number 3. I know we just filled up our bellies and they dropped down, but right now we're singing with our voices up really high. Do we need to drop that any?
Oh, boy.
we got some amens back there. All right, let's drop a little bit. Verse number 3. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Here we go.
Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the
I feel like I didn't drop it any. I actually went a tad bit higher. All right. Is that really good? Okay, here we go.
Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Rest with healing in his wings. Loud he lays his glory by. Born that man no more.
Amen.
Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give the second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now effaced, stamp thine image in his place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
All right, Kaylin, I want you to pray for us, and then Lauren, I want you to come up. And as soon as Lauren's done, Caleb, you come up and follow her. Go ahead, Caitlin.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'd like to thank you and praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and Lord, thank you so much for gathering us all here together, and I pray that we can just have good fellowship throughout the night, and I just pray that you just give all the people that are going up to speak the words to say, and that you just open up our hearts and minds and let us receive everything that you need us to hear, and that we don't let any of those words fall to the ground, and that we just have a good, safe rest of the night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, okay. So growing up, I was always told, like, don't say bad words, like, watch your mouth, you know, don't say mean things. But when I got to like 7th grade, I never really knew why I shouldn't do those things, but everyone around me was doing those things that I wanted to fit in. So I was like, might as well. And I developed like the worst potty mouth ever. Like it was bad. It was really, really bad. No, trust me. So yikes. And so I went through a lot of stuff like 7th, 8th grade, stepped away from God, and somehow landed at the conclusion that since I was saved, I could basically do whatever I wanted. Although, yes, you can do this. I really don't recommend it. I turned into one of those kids who like cussed every other word and made like crude jokes all the time and basically anything I could just to get the attention of people around me. I had no thoughts for others. I was just really selfish in everything I did. And I had no thought to how that affected my testimony with people at school, because I was just solely absorbed in making myself liked by everybody. Using my language to do so, I never realized how it affected my testimony. There's this kid, like, 8th grade maybe, and up until, like, 6th grade, I was one of those people, like, if people cussed in the hallways, I would scream at them, like, watch your language. And so, obviously, this is a bit of a flip. And so, I was going off on someone, like, in 8th hour sometime, and some kid turned to me. He's like, wait, aren't you a Christian? And I was like, yeah, what about it? He's like, should you really be saying this stuff? Didn't faze me. Don't know why. But thinking about that now, like, I definitely passed up an opportunity there. And so in Mark 14:70, this is when Peter's denying Christ 3 times. And it says, and he denied it again, and a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereunto. So they knew Peter was with Christ because he talked like him, and he had the speech that Christ had. And so in verse 71, Peter says, he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. So people are always watching us. In Romans 14:7, it says, no man liveth unto himself. Everyone is watching what you're doing and saying. And if I'm really like being careful of my testimony, the words I'm saying is not going to help that if I'm saying words that the world is using. Ephesians 4:29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. This doesn't just apply to like cuss words and like bad words and stuff like that, but just what you say about other people, whether it be like gossip or whether it be just bad mouthing people in general, is something I'm really bad at. It affects how people see you and how they see the Christ in you. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 10:23. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. We're saved under the blood of Christ, but our job and our mission is to share that gospel with other people. And if I'm using words that aren't edifying to the people around me, then I'm not doing my job. And so I had to ask myself if I have the right perspective. If I was focused solely on like how my words were affecting myself and how they were affecting my worldly relationships, I did whatever I wanted. But if I had the right perspective, I would focus on how my conversations are edifying to others and how it's affecting my testimony.
This is my first devotion in front of the youth group, and so I'm going to be talking about deception. So the example I'm going to use is of Jacob and Esau, located in Genesis 27:6-27. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to give a brief summary about what this is about. So in this passage, you find that Jacob's mother, Rebekah, finds out that Isaac is going to give Esau a blessing. So Rebekah has Jacob fetch 2 kids of the goats to cook for Isaac. She cooks the goats, takes the skin, and put them on Jacob's arms so he will feel like Esau. Jacob takes the meat and goes to Isaac, pretending to be like his brother Esau. When Isaac heard Jacob's voice, he was very suspicious. Have you ever had somebody lie to you the whole time. You had a gut feeling that they were lying, but you really couldn't prove it. That's what's happening to Isaac. Isaac is very old at this time and can't see very well. Jacob is taking advantage of the situation to deceive his father and steal the blessing from Esau. If you're familiar with the story, you might say, wait, didn't God say in Genesis 25:23, before Jacob and Esau were born, that the elder shall serve the younger? So technically the blessing, according to God's own words, rightly belonged to Jacob, right? The answer to that is yes, but the problem here is how Jacob went about getting the blessing. God does not bless deception. Here's the principle. If you have to lie to get it and deceive, you're better off waiting on God to give it to you. So Jacob goes into Isaac with some barbecued goat meat and says, here's your meal, Dad. Go ahead and bless me. Isaac, who is now extremely dependent upon his hearing because of his eyesight, thought he sounded a lot like Jacob. Doubting that it was really Esau, he began to question him and ask, how did you get it so fast? Jacob wasn't ready for the question and said, God brought it to me. Now Isaac is doubting even more because Esau never gave credit to God. So Isaac thought of a plan. He told him to come near so he could feel his arms. Esau had hairy arms, but Jacob had smooth arms. Isaac figured that he could tell the difference. But Jacob was a few steps ahead of his father. So Jacob drew near and let Isaac feel his arms. But Jacob had arms like Esau, so couldn't, and so, but Jacob had arms like Esau, and so couldn't tell it was Jacob, so he blessed him. Now I'm going to talk about why deception isn't worth doing in the first place. Jacob deceived his father simply because he could. Jacob could outsmart his father, so he figured it was okay to do it. But just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. Just because you can lie doesn't mean you should. Just because you can steal doesn't mean you should. Just because you can deceive somebody doesn't mean you should. Okay, so the first reason why you shouldn't deceive is that it is a sin against God. Whenever you deceive, you are telling God that you cannot be trusted. Jacob was telling God that he couldn't be trusted with the blessings. In Psalms 51, it talks about David knew that his sin was against God. Sin against God must be dealt with by God. This brings me to my second reason. The second reason is that you reap what you sow. Jacob, because he deceived his father, spent the next 20 years reaping what he'd sown. Think about it. Whenever you plant a single kernel of corn, you reap back way more kernels than you sowed in the first place. Jacob traded one moment of deception for 20 years of grief. The third reason is that sin always affects more than just you. This is just like Achan in Joshua 7, where he stole something and hid it under his tent and pretended like it wasn't there. His deception not only affected him, but affected the whole nation of Israel because they couldn't win a battle with the stolen item in his tent floor. That's what sin does. Sin affected Achan, his family, and the whole nation of Israel. This past summer, I learned a very hard lesson about deception. I learned that my deception was a sin against God, and I lost all my privileges. In my deception, I had reaped much more than what I sowed, and my sin affected more than just me. It affected my family, whom I dishonored, and it affected my friends because I couldn't do the things we wanted to do. But the best thing you can learn about deception is at any time, you can stop and make things right. I learned that it pays to tell the truth. I learned that it takes a long time to earn back broken trust. I learned that it would have been better to simply do that was right in the first place. And that's all I got.
Great job, Lauren and Caleb. Go ahead and stand up. We're going to sing a couple more. You guys can choose these next three. And then we'll hear our last devotion. Suggestions for the first one. Ooh. All right, Away in the Manger. Let's look at what page that one is. If you get there before I do, holler it out.
Sure.
Right on my hands. 86. Good job. Ty. All right, Away in the Manger. Here we go. Verse number one.
away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky, and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there.
All right, the next two. It does not have to be Christmas, if you're wondering. We can, though. We can keep jingling and up, jingle bells and up. Yeah, next two. Yeah, Alex's like, what does that mean? Sierra. Heaven came down. It was 473, I think. That's a goodie. Good pick. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. All right, here we go. Verse 1. Oh, what a wonderful. That's going to be high. It's going to be high. Oh. All right. Oh, here we go. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. And oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling. He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I'm born of the Spirit with life from above,
into God's family divine.
I'm justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven. Amen!
There in those mansions sublime.
And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. Now my sins are washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. All right, last one. What will it be? Amanda says 292. Hey, 292. I wish I could auction. 292. All right, goodness and mercy. Here we go. A pilgrim was I and a wandering.
In the cold night of sin I did roam, when Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way.
Verse number 3, when I walk.
When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely his great hand will lead me to the mansions he's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
On the chorus, one more time.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Oh. Can't do it, no. A bonus one? No? Good. Oh, Dejan. All right, Dejan's going to open that first verse with a solo. All right, here we go. 113, the old rugged cross. That's a goodie. We'll close out on the old rugged cross. Good place to turn our attention. All right, here we go.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and
he was the best
for once the sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction.
The world's got no use for it. Don't let that be you too.
For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glories forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
All right, Steph, pray for us, and then Maddie, come on up and finish us out.
Okay, so I'm going to be talking about a verse tonight, and that is John 3:30, and it says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And this verse is just saying that if we want to be everything that God wants us to be, this has to be our mindset, that he is increasing and I am decreasing. So the first thing that we do is that before Christ can get the increase in my life, I have to die to self. And this just means that I'm dead to myself now. And after we're saved, we belong to the Lord. And it's no longer what I want to do, but it's all about fulfilling what God wants us to do for him. Over in Matthew 16:24-26, it says, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So this is just saying that if I want to serve God with everything I have, then I have to deny myself first, and only then can Christ get the increase in my life. And the second thing is, once I deny myself, now I have to find somewhere to put my affections. Over in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth." So this is just saying that if God's going to get the increase in my life, I have to first deny myself, but then after that, I have to seek the things of Christ. But not only seek them, I have to love them and set my affections on them. And the things that we love are our treasures. Over back in Matthew 6:21. Says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So what we love is what we put our treasures in. And our heart lies with our treasures and with the things that we love. If our treasures are in worldly things over things of God, then that means we're in trouble. Because if we're treasuring things like sports, school, hanging out with friends, whatever it is, fill in the blank. If we're treasuring any of those things over the things of God, then he can't have the increase in my life. And then the last thing is that ultimately it all comes down to our obedience and letting God guide and lead me. Over in Proverbs 3:5-6, it talks about leaning not into our own understandings. And when I'm leaning into my own understanding, I'm not obeying God, because I'm looking at things the way that I want to see them instead of looking at how God wants me to see them. When I lean into my own understandings, God's no longer increasing, I am. So just in closing, there's one word that's really important in this verse, and it's the word "but." He must increase, but I must decrease. And this makes this verse conditional, meaning that the Lord's only going to be able to increase in my life if I'm decreasing. So if I'm not denying myself, setting my affections on things above, and obeying him, then he's not going to be able to increase in my life. And at the end of the day, we all just need to make sure that the things of the Lord are increasing in our lives. Because the things of the Lord are going to be the eternal things, And why wouldn't we want the eternal things that are going to last forever increasing in our lives instead of the temporary things of the earth?
Thank you, Lauren, Caleb, and Maddie. That was awesome. I always have fun listening to you guys and getting like your perspectives on things and what you guys are dealing with in life and what God's doing with you. So thank you guys so much for being brave enough to get up here and talk about those things and share them with us. And great job. All right, so we're moving into the next phase. So the question I have for you, we have some dessert. Are we us? Yeah, so no. So I think the consensus is that we're going to do our next event before we move on to dessert. We'll do that. If you guys want, listen, I don't want you guys to be shy. Those breadsticks would like to say hello to some of you. So if as you're walking by the table, you feel led to touch and agree with a breadstick, please do. Go ahead. Yeah, everybody make sure you get a breadstick buddy on the way down. But let's have this. Let's have all the kids. We want to make sure there's enough room for you guys downstairs. Go downstairs. Get around the Christmas tree. Find a spot to sit. If there's not room, throw some more chairs in. We're going to do our gift exchange. So you kids go down first. I'm going to talk to the adults real quick, and then we'll meet you guys in about 2 minutes. See that.
Then they get to pick another gift or they can steal from somebody else.